Hey everybody, welcome back to a PM Quickie Review. This time we went and saw The Lone Ranger. Was it just me or did they do that like a lot?
Three times too many.
So many,
you
many times.
You had to get it in there at least once.
I feel like they kept putting it in there, figuring that eventually it would work. The first time was kind of like, wow, that's really like, doesn't fit the tone of the movie at all.
I thought the one at the end was horrible. And it went on forever.
It went on forever.
It went on for that entire, like, 10-minute climax.
Okay, one question before we get into this.
Yes.
Why were there two frigging railroad tracks? They were spending all this money to put the first ever railroad track through this Indian territory.
Right, and then it splits.
And then it splits
so that it can have an action scene where they can go next to each other.
Well, looked great visually.
To build the secret one.
No, because they were right beside each other for, like, 10 miles. Those two trains are going right beside each other.
Doesn't one have to go, like...
Well, I guess it could be for the forward and backward.
Yeah, for the forward,
but, but they were just building it forward.
Well, I mean, it's like the BART trains where they have, you know, one going...
Well, I'm glad this makes sense to you.
No, that makes sense.
And then it joined up again at the end.
I think it's because one goes one direction and one goes the other.
So they can split off around each other and keep going?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't realize you were a train engineer.
There's a lot you don't know.
You're a closet train fan?
I'll buy that.
Look at the choo-choo.
You play Steam all the time, Justin, right?
Why?
Have you noticed that on Steam, they push that train simulator really hard?
There's a tractor simulator.
Right. They're like, you need to get this. It's always on sale. I don't know what that's about.
What do you
Steam's
do? Just look at
shit.
The train?
All right. So back to The Lone Ranger. So we went and saw it tonight. It was definitely very entertaining, I think.
I didn't hate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like it, man. I liked it. Like, everybody's saying it's got horrible reviews. Even my wife. My wife's like, I'm not going to go see that.
I think it's getting about 22% out of 100 on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
I liked it.
That's about what I would score it.
I liked it. I thought it was fun. I need to understand why you guys didn't like it. Because I went in, because I'm a dick, right? So I went in expecting to be like, this fucking movie sucks. But I ended up, like, I was digging it. You know, I thought the horse bits were funny. I thought, you know,
So one thing that continually was messing with my mind was like, and this is something that comes up with me when anything movie wise, I guess in particular, but really whenever there's a story going on, it's like you're waiting for them to draw the line in the sand of like what reality is. You know, like how far are they willing to push it? What are they willing to do? Like just the other night we were watching The Three Amigos, and for the first maybe half of the movie, everything is silly but reasonable. And then the animal starts singing, and you're like, oh, all right, so this movie is completely crazy. They're just going to do whatever the hell they want. Right. And so it was kind of like that with this one, where for a substantial amount of the movie, it seemed like it was working just fine. And then, you know, normal sort of stuff, maybe a little bit of Indian mysticism here and there, but who knows if he was really dead, you know, that whole thing. But then all of a sudden the horse is like, well, I'm just going to be on the roof now, just magically. And then later on, they're like, no, I'm just standing in a tree.
I can buy the in the roof because it could have jumped on a shed or something. But
yeah, I mean,
in a tree with a hat on? Come on.
Like eating branches and then looking at you. Like.
I did like the horse, though. That said, the horse was one of the
Yeah, the horse was really funny, but it was definitely one of those, like, where is reality in
Tonto
this?
Tonto and
like,
the horse had good chemistry.
Very
better
good.
Better than Tonto and the Lone Ranger's chemistry. But before I get into my laundry list of what things I didn't like, and I'm like you, I'm usually the guy who's coming out.
Yeah,
going,
so let's
I kind of liked so-and-so. But the first thing, it just bothered me. One of my pet peeves is when I go to a movie that's set at some point in history, and there's anachronistic dialogue. And this movie was full of anachronistic dialogue.
Sure.
Can't stand that. Takes me right out of the picture.
And that doesn't bother me at all.
If it's a total comedy, if it's a farce, then of course. Okay. But I felt like
well,
in
we
this
did
movie,
have tree,
one of my big,
tree horses, though. So
yeah, there's a tree horse.
So there is that.
But one of my big things about this movie was there wasn't enough comedy to make it a full-on comedy. And it wasn't serious enough to be a full-on serious movie. So it...
Yeah, it was definitely kind of straddling
sure what it
things.
Was.
It's child know? Defense there. Yeah.
That was my big problem with the movie was it didn't play it either way because they had all this serious stuff about the Indians being
it could
killed
have been
off
a real serious movie.
For progress and all that. And that what I was, I guess, hoping that it would be more. But then the next like scene, it'd be Johnny Depp doing crazy shit that takes you out of that and then into a comedy. So it was like it didn't make up its mind to me.
Right.
And that was like constantly tugging at where I was. So I couldn't get necessarily into it enough as a serious movie with the comedy pulling me out. It wasn't enough of a comedy, an action comedy, to make me enjoy it on that part.
Yeah, it definitely, like we were saying, it feels like it's sort of straddling the fence on a lot of different genres, and it's adequate, if not good, whenever it's dipping into one style or the other. But then, it, like you said, it flips on its head really quickly into totally a different style of movie. And it's you know, even horror movies have comic relief, and so that's fine. But it's like we were saying before with the where's the line in the sand with how far we're willing to take things. They go from relatively serious to like wacky, weird, you know?
And it's within, like, and then right back to like serious. 30 seconds.
Right, yeah, yeah, right,
and then,
yeah.
And then right back to, you massacred my people, you know? And
yeah.
Then there's
yeah,
a little, I mean, there kid
was, it was heavy at times, too.
It did get heavy. Yeah. And it's funny because if you compared it to probably the easiest to compare it to, which is Pirates of the Caribbean, right?
Sure, right.
The very first Pirates, I was, you know, I was very skeptical when I went in because I was like, how dare you take my ride when I was a kid, like my ride. I loved that ride, right?
Oh, yeah.
And turn it into a movie, and then, you know, they bastardized it by putting all the new movie crap into the ride. But anyway, so that movie does a really good job of, you know, so imagine that, you know, the sort
we're
of
talking pirates now.
What's that?
We're talking pirates in particular.
In that movie, the theme of, like, so the threads, right? So imagine that you have two threads weaving through the cloth of what the movie is, okay?
Right.
One thread is the comedy aspect, one thread is sort of the serious plot theme, right? That movie did a far better job of those two threads running fairly side by side.
You're saying Pirates did a better job?
Yeah, I
agree.
I think Pirates did a better job. And that's why I was making the comparison, right? So in this movie, it was not as well done. And I think a lot of times they're like, I feel like, you know, all of a sudden it's getting a little bit too serious. So let's do something silly here to break it up a little bit. Because this is a Disney movie. It is, you know, the lowest common denominator is it's a kid's movie, much like Pixar. But then the adults get it, right?
Well, there was definitely some moments where it's like, oh, that was aimed for kids right there.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's some dark, heavy, violent stuff happening at the same time.
Yeah. It's very much like Young Guns too, where, you know, Right, you have that sort of like, it's the old guy telling the story, which I never expected that.
It wasn't so anachronistic, and it was set in a sort of a semi-believable world, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I think I liked the first three Pirates movies, and we have to compare because, you know, it's Gore Verbinski and it's Johnny Depp.
Right. Sure.
But I didn't think this one came to the level of any of the first three Pirate movies for what we've been talking about, and for a few other reasons, but I don't want to dominate the discussion.
No, that's all right. Well, so typically in our quickie reviews, we do the good, the bad, and then our review. So we've been kind of talking bad. Is there anything else we want to specifically talk about with the bad, and then we can move into the good?
So yes. I do have one thing, let me out of this. Okay. So I kept on thinking through the whole movie that, man, were they that, like, was this Disney movie, were they just so amped on making sure that you knew that it was a Disney movie by casting Daisy Duck as the female lead? Because her lips... All I could think of was Daisy Duck.
That girl in her underbite.
What was that? Howard the Duck, man. Her lips are just...
She had like, some serious... She had
a permanent duck face.
Ruth Wilson as Rebecca Reed.
I know it's a low blow, but
yeah, but you can't. I mean, she it's this serious part. Something's happening. She looks at you and it's like...
Yeah, she's like, you know...
Something that really stood out to me that was consistently throughout the whole movie jarring was the 3D was really not like it didn't.
Was there a 3D?
No. There was a substantial amount of 3D.
Were watching it in 2D, John.
No. I mean, the 3D is in the 3D animation, the CGI.
Oh, the CGI. Okay.
His face as an old man, a lot of that was CGI.
And was it?
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was all.
No, it was very weird and sort of uncanny valley, sort of creepy. At least that's what I felt.
We should explain to the listeners that at one point you see Tonto as an old man.
Right. In the beginning, basically, it starts in, what is it, the 30s?
Yeah. That was all. I'm confident that was all appliance, man.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I couldn't tell, but I think that was a nod to Little Big Man, one of the great Westerns where you have this 90-year-old guy telling his story. And that may be what they were going for with the weird and wackiness of it. That this was all a story that Tonto, old Tonto, 99 years old, is telling you. And he's telling it to a kid, by the way. So therefore, anything
some little
goes
kid dressed up this wacky, like the Lone Ranger.
Yeah, in this wacky story, anything goes, right? But
sure.
But it didn't quite work. It didn't quite gel. It's
actually,
like
that makes it.
You could hear the rewrites.
That's true.
You know, that makes it make way more sense,
that's
right?
True. That's where I was. That's what I kind of.
Because
thought that's what they were going for, but it wasn't. The serious aspects kind of pulled you out of that Tonto telling the story.
Right.
You know, so you didn't know if it was a crazy old man telling the story.
Sure.
Or.
But I don't think. So what strikes me after we sort of got that out is not that it was a crazy old man telling a story, but the perception and the what a little kid would draw in their head, right? So that to me makes it seem a little bit more plausible that, that, you know, sort of you had these breaks in it.
In retrospect, I think that looking at it through the lens of a little kid's imagination of what an old, probably crazy old man is telling him,
right,
that a lot of the crazy, odd things that they just throw in there, you know, would actually make more sense in that situation.
Right. It's interesting to look at it from that perspective.
Yeah, because you almost forget.
The bad things, we should probably get those out of our system, right?
Go ahead.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go for it.
Besides well, I wanted to talk about the lady with the shotgun leg. That was the most ridiculous thing I've seen.
Helena Bonham Carter.
Since she Planet played, Terror and the machine gun leg.
Yeah, she played the madam.
That was the low point of this is the reality you're in here. The madam of the whorehouse is going to blow up. Is going to shoot a shotgun from her fake inside of her fake leg, which is actually a shotgun in technology that in some kind of steampunk world would only exist.
Yeah, it was.
And it's an ivory leg, which is very nice looking.
And everybody wants to touch it.
She shoots a shotgun into a crowded bar room to blow the leg off of a chair. Now, if you shot a shotgun into a crowded bar room, you would hit about 12 people. But let's leave that alone.
Maybe she was shooting slugs.
And then she comes back at the end to use her shotgun leg again. And I'm like, what the hell is going on
here? Again, there's just this weird disparity between are we being serious or are we being completely wacky? Because that would be perfectly at home with some of the other wacky shit that was going on.
It was a Wild Wild West moment. Yeah. You know, from not the series.
No, the movie. Bad movie version. With the giant spider.
The other bad things, just to tick off my list here, okay? For the first 20 minutes or so, I thought I was watching a nice serious take on the Lone Ranger. A third of the way in, I realized, okay, this is a joke. Mm-hmm. They're not taking this concept seriously. You know, and I just watched Man of Steel, which takes Superman, a ridiculous concept, very seriously and makes it work. If you think about it, superheroes are an inherently ridiculous concept.
In like 8 years, we'll have good the Christopher movies Nolan make it Lone work. Ranger.
They didn't didn't even try to make the Lone Ranger work. And it's not even as ridiculous as a man with superpowers. It's a guy, you know, with a mask.
Well, the horse had superpowers.
I also thought Armie Hammer was, he kept reminding me, I kept flashing on Brendan Fraser because Brendan Fraser could have played that role exactly 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was so wooden and he didn't have much of a personality to me at all.
Armie Hammer Tonto's felt so movie. Incredibly incompetent. And that was one thing that felt odd to me. I was expecting him at some point to cross a threshold and become serious and really take care of business.
Because
my perception of the Lone Ranger is an effective outlaw who's on the side of good, kicking ass, taking names. That's what it is in the old show. That's what it is in the comics. It's like, right? I mean, that's not the personality. And I know that it's sort of the origin story, but I mean, the movie was 2.5 hours long. They could have done a little montage or something and gotten us to be like, believe that he could actually, because he says at one point, I haven't shot a gun in like 9 years. You could have ran with that and said that he used to be a really good shot. And he just chooses not to. Like, there's lots of places you could have gone. I kept expecting him to at some point be like, all right, screw this. I'm done playing around. I'm done trying to be nice and bringing people to justice. I'm just going to start killing some fools. And that just never happened. He just kept like whimpering and whining and hiding behind things the whole movie.
The Lone Ranger doesn't kill.
Okay.
That's one of the positive things I could say about this movie is they maintain that whole thing about the Lone Ranger not wanting to kill.
Okay, but there definitely could have been a step up and not be a wuss at some point.
But he never did come into his own. Yeah. He gets shot with an arrow and goes, Come on.
That was funny.
It was funny. I think that they were going way funny with this. Like, that's the point.
It was a joke. And that's why I felt, I was like, in the middle of the movie, I was like, oh.
I have a challenge. Without spoiling anything, I actually was a little bit resentful about the very end of the movie when he sort of says, when he names the horse. I was resentful for what he named it after because of the plot of the movie.
Yeah, right.
It's very heavy. And then I was like, that's kind of a screwed up name, right? You know?
Yeah. So yeah, that felt really insensitive and shitty.
Yeah, right. Like, I kind of felt like that's kind of a screwed.
Well, my last bad thing before we talk about more good things is that I felt like the last third of the movie, the whole third act, was completely one cliche after another. It was so predictable. I mean, I knew all along what the reveal was going to be, who the bad guy was going to be, what he was going to do with the girl.
Oh, it was telegraphed throughout the movie.
Who was what was going to happen? The only one thing that I didn't. No, was the Lone Ranger going to keep his value of I don't shoot people?
Right.
And he managed to fire a gun and not break that, which to me was one of the high points. So,
yes, definitely.
Yeah, so that brings us to, I guess, good things.
Yeah, so what stood out to you guys?
Johnny Depp.
So you like Johnny Depp?
This was Tonto's movie.
It really should have been called the Tonto Ranger.
Well, he Johnny Depp executive produced it, so.
Oh, yeah, did he?
It
was, yeah.
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 And that I actually didn't like him.
Yeah, so, I was going to say, it really felt like, kind of like the Johnny Depp show.
I actually didn't mind Armie Hammer. Which I gotta say is a great name. If your last name is Hammer, you either need to name your kid Army or Jack.
Or right. Dick.
Yeah.
Dick Hammer. Those things don't go together.
If your last name's Army, then they gotta name you Dick as well.
Dick Army.
Props to my boy Dick Army.
Thank God you're not my father. Do you know how hard it was for me to come up with my kids' names? My kids have 3 syllables in their first name, 2 syllables in their middle name and 1 syllable in their last name. It's like, and I worked that shit out for fucking months.
It's like a work of art. You have to give it the perfect title.
My last name is Dick. Let me see. What fucked up thing can I name my son to torture him all the way through high school?
How about Sue? It just,
I think I'll call him Suck. Spelled with an H. Such Dick. Suck Dick? What is it? I can't tell. That's so fucked up.
There's so many jokes we could do.
But all right. So what did we like about this movie? John.
Let me start. I liked a few nerd things that they worked in. Mm-hmm. That when we first meet Tonto and the little boy, it's set in 1933. And that's when the Lone Ranger actually debuted on radio.
Nice.
So I liked that little thing. George Trendle created both the Lone Ranger and the Green Hornet. So the Lone Ranger movie was nowhere near as bad as the Green Hornet movie.
I think that was Seth Rogen's fault.
Glad I missed that one.
And that being said, later on, it's revealed that the Green Hornet is actually the great-great-grandnephew of the Lone Ranger.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, so the little kid is the grandfather of the one who becomes the Green Hornet. That's
interesting.
The continuity. So,
is that where the never take your mask off comes from?
I think so. Yeah. I think
is it like a through line between the two stories?
Yeah,
maybe?
Yeah. That's
interesting. That's
cool. You should get an award for knowing all that.
I did not know that.
I know a lot of nerdy shit. I mean, that
one of your many talents.
Yes, yes.
It is.
And being kind of a Lone Ranger nerd, I think that's why I was so excited about the movie when I first heard about it.
Right.
And I was kind of let down when I heard Johnny Depp was playing Tonto, because I would have, you know, there's a lot of Native American actors out there.
I was having like a Tropic Thunder flashback.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, he was playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Yeah, he was indicted into some, wasn't he, like I read something where they actually, there was a tribe that made him an honorary member or something like that
before the movie.
So I thought that was kind of, you know, I thought that was kind of cool, but at the same time I'm like, it's a movie, it's fictitious, do you really have to have Indians playing Indians?
I have a question for you, John, because you said you were Lone Ranger nerd, really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Didn't you crave and want a more serious movie than got?
Yeah.
That's what I felt let down. I felt like, man, they're making a joke out of something that I kind of really love.
The first Lone Ranger movie, the one that they did in 1981, that they tried to reboot it, that was so awful that the actor who played the Lone Ranger never was able to act again.
Ooh.
And
that's never good.
That one was very, very serious. And this movie was a lot better than that, at least. So I'm rambling.
No, that's okay.
I think... Tonto was used in a lot of respects as sort of almost the Jar Jar, right? He was, there was maybe just a hair too much. You know, you sort of have this, you know, he's supposed to be like sort of the wise Indian that sort of makes things happen. And yeah, you find him, he's really the comic relief in the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Which, it's not a bad thing. It's just.
And Depp is very good at that.
Yeah, yeah.
He was really good at that in the Pirates movies. He has historically been very successful at playing weird off the wall characters all the way back to Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, which is one of the first times that he comes out with this whacked out crazy character. And I mean, although that was a real person, but you know, obviously a little bit exaggerated and maybe not so much, but still
not exaggerated.
Yeah, no, but he's good at that. He does a good job of being a wacky character, but not making it seem cheap somehow, you know? And so like, it comes across and it works really well. But I think that after the pirate movies and after Johnny Depp has sort of been playing some of these odd, weird sort of side character type people for a while now, it feels like he's developed this sort of visual vocabulary and this sort of timing and mumbling and just this weird sort of way about him
that is
similar in each of the movies. And it starts to become like, oh, he's doing the Johnny Depp thing.
Yeah, right.
Instead
right.
of the Tonto thing.
Right.
So you guys didn't really care for his Tonto either, or you did?
I was ambivalent. I loved the makeup.
Yeah, right. The makeup was awesome. And I think that he had his moments that were really... I think it's this. If you're willing to sit back and be like, oh, fuck it, whatever. It's funny. I'm not going to... I'll just pretend I've never seen him act like that before, and it's still entertaining, because it is entertaining. But at some point, it's kind of like, man, I've seen this before. So I was kind of two minds of it. Like, if I was willing to just not be snobby about having seen him go through this kind of, like, weird, stumble-around sort of routine.
You've seen him before.
Yeah. Yeah. But at the same time, it's still entertaining.
Well, I hate to be the contrary man, but I often am. But I thought Depp was the only good thing in this movie. I liked his Tonto. I didn't think it was Jack Sparrow. I didn't think it was... What was that other character? I didn't think it was like any of his other characters. It did have Depp in it. You can't avoid that. Sure. Mm-hmm. But I felt like he was more than the comic relief. He was the heart and soul of the movie. Without him, there would be no Lone Ranger in this story, because he literally saves the guy from death.
He really pretty much drags John Reed kicking and screaming through the whole movie.
He freaking gives him a mask and says, wear this. And the guy says, no. And he goes, yes, you got to wear it. Three times he brings the mask back to him and says, you got to wear this mask.
Right.
You got to take this silver bullet. You got to do this thing. It's the horse telling me.
I like them working in the Wendigo thing. That was pretty slick.
And I liked how that was really Tonto cool, had that dark, spiritual, mystical edge to him, you know? And I like...
Right, he seems sort of boyish and charming and silly, but at the same time, that's... very much a mask covering up a huge amount of hurt.
He's scarred.
Right. Yes.
And
yeah,
his dark origin is the one thing that didn't really work if this was a comedy.
But that dark origin was excellent.
It was.
That's what I mean. It's a strong motivation when the problem from his past, the guys from his past finally meet him. It's like, whoa, it's a powerful scene. You know?
Right.
So Johnny Depp did in this movie what he did in the pirate movies. He stole the movie from the main character. Because in the beginning of the pirate movies, everybody knows the main character is... Orlando Bloom's character.
Yeah, right.
But over the course of the movies, Jack Sparrow becomes the lead in that franchise.
True.
And Johnny did it in one movie this time. And maybe, as you said, since he was the executive producer, that's what he intended all along. He said, I'll be in Lone Ranger if I can play Tonto. You know?
Let me ask you, is Lou Diamond Phillips a better Tonto than Johnny Depp?
That would have been interesting. Would have been more serious, I think.
Well, I don't know.
Is a Filipino guy better than a white guy?
What is it about Hollywood? They can't have somebody who is the same race. I don't know how many times.
I can only think of one Indian actor that really stands out to me, and I don't know his name. He was in that. There was a Nicolas Cage movie called like Wind Talkers. He was the lead guy in that, and then oddly enough, in Joe Dirt, he plays an Indian in that movie where he's at a fireworks stand sort of in the middle of the movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I don't know I can't think of his name as an actor. I certainly don't know. But he's like the only other guy that I think
a really good Native American actor in this movie, the really old chieftain.
Right.
But they gave him silly, anachronistic language. And that ruined it for me. It was like, you got this.
That's a real sticking point for you, isn't it? It really is.
I mean, if you're going to have a historical drama, you can still make it funny without saying things like, not so much.
Right.
Nobody in the West said, not so much, especially Cheyenne Indians.
Yeah, what's with the mask?
What's up with the mask?
What's with the mask?
It seems like we're struggling to say a lot of good things about it.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah. I feel like the little kid idiot at the table, because I had a complete suspension of disbelief at some point. I just was like, yeah, I'm here. I'm cool. Like, they didn't disappoint
There's nothing wrong with that.
And based on the reactions of most of the people in the theater... People seem to enjoy it when they're in the theater.
Right.
It's a fun movie.
It's fun.
Get your popcorn, sit back, chuckle and laugh and have a good time. It's lots of action, it's slick, you know. It does have
some draggy.
The relationship
moments.
Crap between Duckface and Lone Ranger.
Getting back to the bad part, that was the one thing, like her husband has been dead a week, and then she's making out with his brother on Silver.
Well, I think the way that they, you know, the cure for that was they made it very clear from very early in the movie that there was something there between them.
Yeah, it seems like they almost were together before.
When he died, he said she always loved you.
She always loved you.
Right. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. So they kind of... I was wondering if they were going to reveal that was actually his kid, not his brother's kid. Yeah. But I don't want to give away anything.
I'm glad they didn't.
Just like I'm glad that Lone Ranger keeps his moral principles throughout the movie.
Definitely.
Because if he did start shooting people, that would have been a horrible message to send to all the children that are going to see this movie, you know? Yeah, the Lone Ranger said it's okay to shoot people.
I was really afraid that they were going to just beat the crap out of us with these action sequences just for the sake of action. Mm-hmm. But I felt like it was appropriate for where it was in the movie. And the train stuff wasn't so hugely out of bounds that it was obviously it's an action movie and it's fun, but I didn't feel like it was, you know, it didn't turn into like the Matrix on the train or something like that.
I
like the
double train sequence. If you can buy the idea that they've built double tracks, even though they're working so incredibly hard just to build the first track through this place. If you can buy the idea that they built two simultaneous tracks, then that sequence really works, except for one thing, and that really bothered me, was when he was riding that horse. He rode that horse across the roofs of the town, and then across the roofs of the train, and then through the train, through several cars of the train. And I'm like, they're really overdoing it a bit with this, riding the horse through the train.
The action was way over the top.
But the good thing about the climax was it was fun. Like you said, it was an interesting sequence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they were playing a little bit of an homage there to the mining cars scene in Temple of Doom. You know, when the mining cars, Indies in the mining cars, and they're flying through there with short range and stuff.
One thing that I really liked about this movie was Butch Cavendish was such a good villain. It was William Fichtner.
Yeah.
Who's just awesome. I love him in everything. Have you guys seen him in, I want to say, Prison Break? Was that something he was in?
Yeah. And he's a lot of TV shows.
He's awesome. And he's great to see in this because he has such severe makeup on. So many of those guys do, but he in particular, that it took until they really had a full face shot of him without the brow down, no shadow, where it's like, oh shit, that's him.
Yeah.
And
I recognized him right off.
And he's just, he was great. He loved to hate him, but at the same time, he's still kind of fun. And just a great bad guy. Great bad guy.
I'm also a fan of Barry Pepper, who played the... the cavalry captain. And I thought that character actually was pretty good. It had some nuance to it.
Yeah, I like at the end after he had basically crossed a moral line.
Yeah.
Like he had agreed. He had kind of gotten obsessed with money, essentially. He had sold himself out for money. But when he actually had to back that up and do some terrible things to maintain that, you could tell it was killing him.
Yeah, yeah.
It was eating him up.
I thought it was more of a moral thing that he had to massacre the Comanche under orders, under this ruse, and then being told, no, we're actually doing it to get this treasure, and in order to justify this massive killing that he had taken part in, you know, he had to go with the... I thought it was kind of nuanced, and I'm a big Barry Pepper fan.
Yeah, he's great. I really, really enjoy him.
Saving Private Ryan.
62.
Another thing I liked was one of my favorite westerns is Hell on Wheels, which is an amazing TV show. Dead serious portrayal of the building of the railroad, Transcontinental, which this movie based its plot around, Lone Ranger. And there was a sign in the camp village there when they were going into the town to the bars and everything. And it said, Hell on Wheels. And I think that had to be a little, sort of a little prop, you know, saying,
homage.
We respect this show. We like it. Check it out. And if you're listening, check out Hell on Wheels. It's an awesome show.
Why don't we go around and give our reviews? So we'll start with John Foltz. What did you think, man?
I thought this movie was...
Actually, we have to explain our review situation.
Oh, you got to show me your
rating. Right, so it's basically out of five.
Yeah, how many Tontos does this movie get?
How many Tontos?
I know. So our review scale is out of five. Five out of five would be Midnight Show. And then working our way down, we've got Full Price, Matinee, Netflix, and Pirate.
I would give this a Netflix rating because it'd be a good watch on Netflix when you don't have to leave the comfort of your own home. If you're a Johnny Depp fan and if you like Indians like I do, I love Native American culture and I love movies about Native Americans. And yeah, there's some funny moments, but I think Depp took that to heart. And I think he brought some of that out in the mystical side of Tonto. So my thing about this movie was the only reason that I don't feel like I wasted my $13.50 was because of Depp. And Tonto. Mm-hmm. I think this movie could have been Tonto's story without the Lone Ranger at all.
Mm.
So I say Netflix it.
Netflix it. So 2 out of 5. Justin.
This is a matinee for me. I mean, I don't feel bad about spending the money that I spent on it because, you know, you get the whole experience of the gigantic screen. And
sure.
I genuinely enjoyed it. And I think the thing that really, in saying that I'm most comfortable with giving it a better rating is because I had no plans of enjoying it.
Yes.
I really didn't.
That's true.
I did not expect to really enjoy it. And I thought that, you know, it was fun and interesting, and I laughed, and I really it was a surprise for me.
So solid 3 out of 5. So, for
you, yeah. I'd give it a matinee. I'd guess see it on matinee.
All right, John.
I'm also going to go with the matinee. I liked the action sequences on the giant, you know, the giant screen versus, you know, your flat screen at home.
Right.
So it was definitely worth it for me. I have, like I said, issues with the story. It's probably not something I will watch again. But it was, you know, a fun take the family to the afternoon and eat some popcorn.
Sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't buy the Blu-ray. Right. You know.
Yeah.
I would say, go ahead. What's yours?
I'm going to go matinee as well. I think that that's a really fair rating. I think that that if I had gone in and paid matinee price and saw it like mid-afternoon, and I would have been totally, totally satisfied and happy with the experience. I don't think that I would recommend, because the thing about, and the reason why we like to use that sort of system is that it's almost like, how out of your way should you go to see it?
Right, that makes sense. Know? That's fair, right.
And so full price, that's like, you should go spend an evening. This should be what you do. Like, go out, have dinner, and then the point of your evening is, we're going to go see this movie.
Right.
And we're going to talk about it afterwards and all that. You know, it's like, nah, this is probably not a movie that occupies that space. This is sort of a movie that you could just kind of, oh, yeah, just kind of wander into the theater. What's playing? Okay, cool. And just watch it. It's really fun, really entertaining, totally deserves to be on the big screen. They went way out of their way with big set pieces, yeah, really right. Excellent action, very entertaining. So, like, way definitely in the big theater, for sure.
$220 million budget.
Created a lot of jobs. Let's not forget that. They're job creators.
You know, and I think that I'm going to go back to what Justin was saying about how I was going in not expecting much. Yeah. I tend to read up on movies on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm a big fan of Rotten Tomatoes.
See, I don't. I don't. My wife does. My wife knows everything about all the movies going on. Like, there's stuff. Okay, so when we went to see Star Trek, right? There, for Justin, there was no con until he was like, it's con. Then I was like, oh, it was
me too, right?
Like, yeah. I had the sixth sense moment where I was like, that's fucking con. Are you kidding me?
Right. And I was like, your wife was like,
she's like,
yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't avoid that.
I knew that, right? Like, I knew. Like, I didn't know. She knows. I'm like, did you know? She goes, yeah. I'm like, how do you do that to yourself? How do you do that? Like, I want to be surprised.
I put up like smoke screens between myself. Like, I did it before Man of Steel because I didn't want to know. And I did it tonight when we saw the Wolverine preview. I sat there with my eyes closed through the whole thing. Because
it's really
good. I want to see it and make my own judgment.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
Too many movies have been ruined for me by knowing.
I was really surprised that this was as good as it was, considering the rating it got.
You know, I expected a more serious movie.
I mean, that was my big 22% thing. On Rotten Tomatoes, that's bad. That's getting close to broken.
What are they saying is so horrible about it?
They're just longer than it needed to be, kind of bloated, aimless, sort of stuff.
It's neither a comedy nor an adventure.
Yeah, you know, and but at the end of the day, I don't think that it deserves that kind of a rating. I don't think that it's that bad. Because when you get into the 20s or into the teens, a lot of the time, we're talking the movie has problems.
The other thing about it is
plot holes. There's serious pacing problems.
It's getting such a low rating is because of the sheer predictability of it, too. You know, I mean, this, especially in the third act. You see everything coming a mile off. If you've ever watched a Western.
Disney.
You know, I think
Disney.
People are starting to burn out Disney. On that, the Disney formula.
Maybe I'd like it better if I had kids, you know, because I would think, hey, I'd love to take my kids to this. But I didn't like Disneyland either, so I'm kind of a curmudgeon that way.
Both my kid and Justin's kids had no interest in seeing
it. Well, my daughter went to see it. She actually went to go see it. One of her friends, his father's in the military, and apparently they get
free showings.
They get like free showing like a week before. So she went to see War Z like a week before it came out.
Nice.
And she went to see this last weekend and she came home and she's like, it's hilarious and it's great. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Okay, great. You know, whatever. And so, but she also, when she came back from seeing World War Z, I just call it War Z, she said, oh my God, this movie is awesome, right? But then at the same time, like, I've watched movies with her. She's like, this movie is awesome. I'm like, oh my God, you have no taste whatsoever. You don't know what a good movie is.
She just likes everything.
Like, what was it? Like, Resident Evil 16 is not a good movie. You know, it's horrible. You know, it's the eighth rendition of 3D.
Kids have lower standards. I mean, let's face it. When you go back and you watch the stuff you loved as a kid, half the time or more, you're like, ooh.
I've had those moments, sure, for sure.
Sometimes you find something that holds up and you're like, hey, wow, that holds up. Oh, you know, but half the time you're like,
it's a badge of honor or something.
Hawk the Slayer is not a good movie.
Oh, God. I would say, much like, I don't know, it was either a year ago or 2 years ago, because I don't know when, you know, I love movies and I love the art form and all that, but I don't pay attention to a lot of when things come out and all of the details about it. But this year, there's going to be a shit ton of White Horses sold Just like a year ago when Hunger Games came out, everybody and Brave, you know, Brave and Hunger Games were the big, like, let's go get into archery.
Sure.
Because immediately when that horse came into the scene, I was like, that horse is beautiful and I want one.
Oh, right.
You know, I was like, he's so fucking cool, right? Yeah, and I had horses. Horses suck. They're like big, dumb dogs. They're just the stupidest. They're the stupidest thing. There's no point. You should only have horses. If you have a field that needs to be tilled, it makes sense to have a thinner horse than a cow because you can put the rows closer together. Otherwise, just get a big dumb dog or get a good, you know, but don't get a horse. Horses are the dumbest thing on the planet.
You know, speaking of horses, I forgot one thing that really bugged me.
All right.
I have to bring it up now. For half the movie, Tonto and the Lone Ranger are riding on the same horse. Even when there was an opportunity to get other horses for Tonto, they were riding around on their on the same horse. It was almost like a gay joke or something. And at one point, he has a parasol.
I don't know about that.
He's holding the parasol over Tonto's head as they're riding through the desert. And I'm like, why are they still on the same horse? That is so lame. And then finally, at the end of the movie, when everything's done and good is victorious, they're on separate horses.
Yeah, I get the sense that a lot of the relationship between Tonto and the Lone Ranger is meant to be kind of awkward. Especially the Lone Ranger in relationship to Tonto. Because Tonto's kind of like, hey, I am what I am. I'm doing what I'm doing. And trying to recruit the Lone Ranger to his plan and his cause. But for the most part, Tonto's so odd. And the Lone Ranger's such a tight-laced, uptight shit that...
He's a lawyer. He's a district attorney.
Right,
what they should have done is, somewhere in the middle of the movie, there should have been a point where... He learns, and I think they kind of give it to you, like when the old Indians telling him sort of what he went through. And but I don't think they explain it in a way that, you know, I wanted their relationship at some point. There's that turning point for them. And in this movie, it doesn't happen until the very end of the movie. And it's very, very kind of, it's just sort of like, just throw it in that they're buddies. My impression of those two was that there was a very serious, very close, very strong bond between them. And I don't get that from this. Mm-hmm. Somewhere halfway through the movie, there should have been something that happens. A life, you know, one of them saves the other's life, or there's some big giant reveal that happens that's a little bit more significant than, well, this is what's wrong with Tonto or whatever.
Right.
And so there should have been something that I think drove them together to be closer.
I think that's
missing. If there's another movie,
I was going to say, I think the next movie might be more what we were all kind of hoping for won't happen considering
I wonder if the franchise suffers from, you know, you have Pacific Rim coming out, which is super high technology.
Yeah, it looks so
you've
good.
Had, you know, you've got Elysium coming out, like all of these super high tech. I think in the midst of shiny vampires and werewolf movies, it's going to be really hard to have a Western that breaks through that isn't something that's more violent. And, you know, so we'll see.
All right. Well, I think that can just kind of wrap it up. Anything else we want to say? Final thoughts?
Hi-o, Silver.
Oh, that was the last thing I wanted to say. I'm sorry. We were all kind of bagging on the music, but I wonder if it would have been different if Danny Elfman did the...
It would have been a lot better.
If you gave him a crack at it.
Mm.
You would have still had it got the William Tell overture.
Yeah, but what if you had a William Tell overture that was a little bit more modern and less happy? It's very like peanut butter popcorn happy.
Yeah, the tone seems a little
off. It just felt off for this movie. Oddly enough,
William Tell overture did not work for the Lone Ranger
movie. Exactly, which is odd.
That says a lot right there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's just outdated. You know
Could
what I
be.
Mean?
Could be.
And back in the show, when they did the classic show, they didn't play that music during the show. They played it at the closing credits, didn't they? Opening credits, closing credits. Yeah. So it's not meant to be music that you watch as there's action unfolding. You know, it's kind of a stuffy classical music.
It's not the theme music that gets woven throughout it, you know, in different sort of symphonic type ways.
There's many points in the movie where like the Lone Ranger, where he gets his name, it's sort of like... The Lone Ranger, like he's the only one left. And so that makes sense, right?
Sure.
Or like where the mask came from, it happens to be, you know, bullet holes or whatever, which was a little bit cheesy, but
for both characters.
Well, yeah, but there's all these little tiny things like that, right? I think it would have been brilliant if they worked the music into that somehow. Like, for example, when they're in the bar, maybe you had the pianist
somebody playing,
tinkering around.
That would have been
right.
Better.
Imagine having it there
and
then played later on. They played it like almost immediately in the movie, which, you know, that's something that it's so well known. It'd be nice if that was sort of more at the end of the movie where it was, but it was in the wrong, it just was in the wrong place.
Yeah, it was definitely felt out of place a couple times.
Because what you don't get with that is you don't get the subtleties of, you know, what we're trying to do with music in a movie a lot of times is you set the tone, and that didn't really set the tone. It kind of took you out a little bit.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And that's the last thing I'll say.
Well, yeah, I think on the whole, we enjoyed it. Definitely on average about a matinee score. Go spend an afternoon, check it out. You know, nothing to commit to, just a good fun time. Yeah.
Take your kids.
All right. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening to another quickie review, and we will see you next time for Pacific Rim, no doubt.
And on our sister podcast, we will be talking about the Lone Ranger graphic novel in a week.
Yes, yes. The waterfrontcomics.com has had a big fat update, and we'll be hosting podcasts shortly. We're going to record our first podcast tomorrow, talking about some of Greg Ruka's most recent work.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and so we're excited about that. And then we're going to ongoingly be talking about graphic novels and comics that are available at Waterfront Comics that we want to recommend and review and talk about. So obviously, because the Lone Ranger is out, we'll be talking about the Lone Ranger comic. But yeah, so make sure to go check out waterfrontcomics.com. It's a big, big new site and lots of exciting things coming up on there. You can see what's coming next week every week now, which is exciting.
Oh, that's cool.
I have to say the webmaster did an incredible job updating it.
Oh, why, thank you.
Good job.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next time. Good night.